Let's talk a little bit about the history of Tulsa Community College, Tulsa Junior College. How did it start?
It started in 68 when Oral Roberts, the president of Oklahoma Natural Gas, and the Chamber of Commerce decided that we've only got two private universities here. And, of course, Truman passed the act that we should start junior colleges because he wasn't a college grad, and he thought that was terrible. Here he was, the president, and never got a college degree, although he and my dad were going to the University of Kansas City. He still felt like we should have junior colleges, especially for the boys coming back. They should be able to afford an education. So Chamber of Commerce, the president of Oklahoma Natural Gas, and Oral Roberts were adamant. Yeah, we'll have a junior college.
What year is this that we're talking about a junior college?
I'm talking about 68 when they were bringing up the plans for a junior college. Dr. Phillips had come from Washington down to Dallas, and he took over this huge department store and made it a junior college called the Metro in downtown Dallas. They saw all that coming up, so they were checking it out, and they invited him to come here to Tulsa and draw up a plan for a junior college here.
Al Phillips.
Dr. Al Phillips. A lot of people don't know that his middle name is McKenzie, but I do. Because my husband, Don, was mapping out the routing for the mail. My husband was with the post office. He met Dr. Phillips, and after they settled on the Sinclair building, he said, "Now we have to have an address for your location." And Dr. Phillips says, "Oh yeah, just call it 10th and Boston or 9th and Boston, and we'll call it the Metro Campus or something like that." And Don said, "I'm sorry, sir, but you got four corners. We got to have a number." So they settled on 909 South Boston. Dr. Phillips says, "And what is it you do?" Don said, "Oh, I'm teaching postal leadership courses at OU, and I go there twice a week." And Dr. Phillips said, "If we get that college going, you can teach that course right here in Tulsa, and you don't have to be going back and forth to OU. Don says, "Okay, whatever you say." But he says, "I don't have to teach it." He said, "I got 25 supervisors I can send you, and you can take your pick." Well, that's how they started that business. But the 2 years from 68 to 69, Dr. Phillips was being torn apart by all the politicians here. And one of the worst ones was Bill Polis, North Side representative here. A good guy, but he wanted the college here because he said North Tulsa is dead. He said, "We've got to have something to bring the traffic in." Well, all the other politicians wanted the college in their district. You should see some of the sites they were picking. Right downtown in the railroad yards, Union Depot, there was, I don't know how many acres they said they could have down there. Well, Phillips was kind of a visionary because they were building all the expressways. He says, "We can put it downtown. Pick a spot downtown because all the expressways are coming in this way and you got all the traffic." Sinclair, I told you, he was from Independence, Kansas. His folks owned Midland Valley Railroad. He had his own private car. He'd get in every morning. He had a barber, a valet, a cook, and a chauffeur. He'd ride his private car into Union Station. The chauffeur would bring him to his office in Thompson Building. Well, he was a little upset because all the oil men were building their buildings right next to each other, all up and down Boston there. And he thought, "Well, I want a building there too." Well, here comes Atlantic Richfield and puts up their building, which was the Sinclair building. He was telling Atlantic Richfield, "You got a 7-story building and you put it over there by Boston Avenue so it sticks out like a sore thumb." See, they were all jealous of each other. You should have heard them at those meetings. My uncles would come home and they'd just tell stories. They were all like little boys. "I got more than you have, so I can do this or I can do that." Well, anyway, Sinclair was bugging Atlantic Richfield. "You're going to move to Houston or someplace, so I want your building, but you're going to put an escalator in it." They were going, "Harry, you're crazy. You don't need an escalator." "Oh, yeah, yeah. You're going to put an escalator in it. I don't care what it costs. I'll buy it. I'll buy it." Okay. Well, he moved from the Thompson building and built this little Sinclair building, catacorner from Central High School, which now is loft apartments. But he wanted that building because it was close to Boston Avenue Methodist Church, and it would stick out. So finally, Atlantic Richfield moves, but they put in the escalator for him. I get to Fort Scott, Kansas. They had just built the new college there, and the ladies in the college art department said, "Did you know Harry Sinclair?" And I said, "Yeah." "Well, you knew he was born in Independence, Kansas." "Yeah." "And he railroaded into his office every day on his private car." "Yeah." "Well, you knew he limped." I said, "Yeah, I knew he limped. I met him. I thought maybe he had polio as a kid or something." "Oh, no, no, no. He limped because he shot himself in the foot." And I went, "You're kidding." And they went, "No. He shot himself in the foot years ago because he wanted disability."
Harry Sinclair, who had an oil company?
He had everything.
Do you really believe that?
I know he limped. Now, they're telling it. I don't repeat anything unless it's in print. I don't tell it to everybody. No, I don't, because even though the families are all gone and all.
So did you ever talk to Harry Sinclair?
Oh, yeah, I met him when they were all in the Rock Lodge, which is the Benson Building. See, when Josh Costin built his building, that was the Presbyterian Church, so they moved up to 7th in Boston. Then here comes Waite and Wyatt Phillips, and that was the Boston Avenue Methodist Church bunch. There's a plaque on the sidewalk. So they moved up and built the Boston Avenue Methodist Church. Those guys were moving everything out of that block along there because they were trying to outdo each other putting up their buildings. And they were going back and forth to Europe, shipping everything over here, putting it on flatbed railroad cars, and bringing up marble, artwork, chandeliers. All this stuff was coming from Europe and being brought in by the railroads. And, of course, the cattle barons were responsible for getting the railroads into Tulsa because they were tired of moving the cattle trail clear up to Kansas, to Newton, north of Wichita, because that was the big railroad hub. The sicker cattle stayed in Wichita because there was 4 packing plants in north Wichita. The not-so-sick cattle got to Kansas City. The other longhorns that were stronger and better went clear up to Chicago, to the yards up there.
Let me come back here now to Tulsa Junior College.
Mm-hmm.
What year did Tulsa Junior College open?
We opened in September of 1970. Tuition was $7.25 an hour. We had the first 3 floors. The Board of Regents of Oklahoma gave us the first 3 floors and the basement of the Sinclair Building, because they were moving out to Houston, too. And then in 75, the Board of Regents of Oklahoma got us the whole building. We remodeled, and it is now the Metro Campus. Dr. Al Phillips was there for 20 years when he retired. Vice President Dean Van Treese came in as president. And because we had expanded to other campuses, he decided that we were a community college. So he changed the name in June of 1996 because we had 4 main campuses. Metro was the first one. Northeast Campus was the second one. Southeast Campus was the third one. And West Campus was the 4th campus. We also now have 9 satellite campuses all around Tulsa and over 28,000 students attending.
How many years have you worked now?
I started in July of 1970. I was a reference librarian because that's what I started at Will Rogers High School in 1965, fall of 1965.
And you're still here?
I am still here. And I'm trying to get a permanent location for all the historic paraphernalia, ephemera, and everything of the college. I'm trying to keep the history together because, as far as I know, even though I belong to Oklahoma Museum Association and the Oklahoma Historical Society, we're about the only community college that has the historic collection of the college. So I've got about 41 years worth of artifacts, documents, players, everything that belonged to the college. I'm trying to keep the history.